It's Friday after Ash Wednesday. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. We begin, as always, with our Roman Station. Today's Roman Station is the Church of St. John and Paul on the Caelian Hill. This was another house church, and beneath the present-day basilica there are 2nd and 3rd century houses. John and Paul were martyrs in 361 in the time of the Emperor Julian the Apostate. It is thought that the two martyrs were instrumental in the conversion of Constantia, the Emperor Constantine's daughter, and her husband. The two saints were actually buried in their house within the boundary of the city, which was a violation of law at the time. The church has been rebuilt several times, notably by St. Pope Leo the Great, and it was sacked by the Normans in the 11th century and then restored again, which happened a lot in Rome. That's when the bell tower and the porch were added. The base of the bell tower contains blocks of marble from the Temple of Claudius. In the 18th century, all sorts of Baroque decorations that you see today were added to the church. It was Baroqued. The Cosmatesque floor, however, which is quite ancient, is a real treasure. The Passionists now have this church, and it has an association with the Cardinals of New York, Cardinal Spellman, who brought the old chandeliers from the Waldorf Hotel and installed them here, was once its titular cardinal. Another former titular cardinal was Eugenio Pacelli, who became Pope Pius XII. These station churches can be helpful in our consideration of what the church is trying to teach us on each day of Lent. The stations were always listed as the statio, or stopping place, ad, the Latin preposition ad, which conveys something of being in the presence of the one who is about to be named. The statio ad sanctos Ioannem et Paulum today calls us to think about the diaconal role of this church in ancient times. Deacons were stationed here, who, together with their liturgical roles to fulfill in the presence of the Bishop of Rome, also administered goods for the poor. In fact, the texts for the Mass in the Extraordinary Form form a strong emphasis on works of penance, including almsgiving. The worst sinners are nice people who, by denying sin, make the cure of sin impossible. Sin is very serious, but it is more serious to deny sin. That is why those who very often deny sin become scandalmongers, talebearers, and hypercritics, because they have to project their real guilt outside of themselves to others. And this gives them, also, a great illusion of goodness. It will be found generally true that the increase of fault-finding is in direct proportion to the denial of sin. Fulton J. Sheen. By Bishop Jacques Bénigne Bossuet. Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. John 14:8. God alone suffices, and all we need to possess Him is to see Him, because in seeing Him we see all His goodness, as He Himself explained to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you. We see all that attracts our love, and we love Him beyond all limits. Let us join St. Philip in saying with all our heart, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. He alone can fill all our emptiness, satisfy all our needs, content us, and make us happy. Let us then empty our heart of all other things, for if the Father alone suffices, then we have no need for sensible goods, less for exterior wealth, and still less for the honor of men's good opinion. We do not even need this mortal life. How, then, can we need those things necessary to preserve it? We need only God. He alone suffices. In possessing Him, we are content. How courageous are the words of St. Philip! To say them truthfully, we must also be able to say with the apostles, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. At the least, we must leave everything by way of affection, desire, and resolution, that is, by an invincible resolution to attach ourselves to nothing, to seek no support except in God alone. Happy are they who carry this desire to its limit, who make the final, lasting, and perfect renunciation. But let them not leave anything for themselves. Let them not say, This little thing to which I am still attached, it is a mere nothing. We know the nature of the human heart. Whenever a little thing is left to it, there the heart will place all its desires. Strip it all away, break from it, let it go. To own things as though one had nothing, to be married as though one were not, to make use of this world as though one were not using it, but as though it did not exist, and as though we were not a part of it, this is the true good for which we should strive. We are not Christians if we cannot say sincerely with St. Philip, Show us the Father and we shall be satisfied. It is from the very depths of faith that these words are spoken, and it is in a certain sense from the very foundation of nature itself. For in the depths of our nature we sense our need to possess God, that He alone is capable of fulfilling our nature, and that we are anxious and tormented when separated from Him. When, therefore, surrounded by other goods, we sense this inevitable void and something tells us that we are unhappy, it is the depth of our nature that, in its way, cries, Show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. But what good is the sick man's desire to be well, while he lacks every remedy, and while death lies within him, without his knowing it? Such is the condition of human nature itself. Man, abandoned to himself, does not know what to do, nor what to become. His pleasures carry him off, and these very same pleasures destroy him. With each sin of the senses he gives himself a killing blow, and he not only kills his soul by his intemperance, in his blindness and ignorance, he kills the very body that he would flatter. Since the fall, man is born to be unhappy. The infirmities of a body in which he places all his good make him so. How much more unhappy is he made by the great mass of errors, lawless deeds, and vicious inclinations that are the maladies and the death of his soul? What a miserable seduction reigns in us! We do not know how to desire or ask for what we need. St. Philip's words teach us everything. He limits himself to what Jesus taught us is the one needful thing. Lord, you are the way. I come to you to find myself again, and to say with your apostle, Show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. The prayer over the people from the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite. Oremus, humiliate capita vestra Deo. Tuere, Domine, populum tuum, et ab omnibus peccatis clementer emunda, quia nulla ei nocebit adversitas, si nulla ei dominetur iniquitas. Let us pray. Bow your heads to God. Watch over your people, O Lord, and mercifully cleanse them from all their sins, for no harm can come to them if no evil has power over them. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, this is Father Z asking you please to pray for me as I will for you.